and am so happy to be saved. Sister Mickey. Praise God. I have a few announcements I want to give in. And this afternoon, they're having my wife's having choir practice for the youth choir. So please remember that. And a youth choir is very important for our church worshiping the Lord. And I want to encourage young people to come and practice. But I also want to encourage you to be worshipful about it, and when you're singing to the Lord, all right? Amen, because worship is all about Christianity. I mean, if Christianity is all about worship, maybe I should put it that way. Let's put our hearts in whatever we do. And then Monday night, we have the Free Gospel Bible Institute coming to put on the Christmas play. Sister Nicole Matthews is going to be in the play as well. So everybody, please come out and try to get some lost people to come, because that's another thing that Christianity is all about, is trying to get more people going to heaven. Amen. We want everybody to experience this freedom that we have. And so this is a good opportunity to try to lift up the Lord. House of Prayer is having their Christmas play Friday, this next Friday, the 18th. And then I want to thank everybody for how you helped clean up last Sunday night. And I still want to thank Corey and Sean and whoever helped them for that wonderful meal on our Christmas party. And it was tremendous, wasn't it? Amen. Tremendous. Brother Sean Matthews and all that he did, Sister Jenna Mitchell, and the play was just great. I just am very glad. That's another thing about Christianity. God will put you to work if you let him. Amen. If you'll let him, he'll put you to work somewhere. And I appreciate the working people at Fairland. I want to thank the adult Sunday school class for their gift to me. And I also want to thank the church for all you've done for us and our family. There is a community correction center service today. It's not usually scheduled, but I understand the fella that used to be over it sadly passed away, and they put another man in charge of it. So we may have more services through the month than what we have been having. So please remember that. And if you didn't get a calendar or a pen from us, we want to give that to you, as well as a Christmas card. Well, aren't you happy to be saved? Oh, I'm so happy to be saved. Amen. And I want to read from 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. And I'll try and preach a little bit to you today. Amen. We've had such a good and wonderful service already. It makes me wonder what's going to happen tonight. Amen. Or even really what's going to happen by the end of this service. But we've been having a tremendous liberty in the spirit of all we need is more people feeling what we're feeling here today. That's all we need. Amen. And the Apostle Paul must have been, I think when he wrote this passage of Scripture, he must have been saying, thank God I'm free. Thank God I'm saved. Hallelujah. I've been born again. I think I get that impression when I read this verse. 1 Timothy 1 and 15. Said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Thank God I'm saved. Amen. Thank God I'm saved. Amen. I want to preach this morning on Christ's mission. Amen. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. How many times we think about somebody that's on a mission as someone that's an adult, or someone maybe even that's grown up enough at least that they have some purpose in mind for their life. They might be a soldier that set out to defeat a wicked foe. They might be an explorer wanting to find new land somewhere. It might be a doctor trying to find a cure for some disease. Or it's possible that it may be a law enforcement, state police, a sheriff, a deputy, or someone that's trying to keep law and order. They've got a mission about things. But Jesus was a baby born in Bethlehem, and he came on a mission. Hallelujah. He was not just a firefighter showing up at a burning building with the mission of rescuing whoever's in the burning building and putting out the flame. He was the Son of the living God that came into this world to save sinners from the flames of hell. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? He is called the Ancient of Days, and he has no beginning. So you couldn't look at the baby Jesus and say just 8 days old, or he's 6 months old. I realize from the time of his birth until, you know, he began his ministry, he's around 30 years old. But in another way, he never did have a beginning. And so he was older and older than you can imagine. Praise God. Christ was older than dirt when he was born. He was older than rocks when he was born. He was older than the sun and the moon and the stars when he was born. He just always was. Amen. He was before dinosaurs, plants, or amoebas. He was before man, and he came into this world on a mission. Hallelujah. Thank God he came. I know Columbus came to the New World, and his desire was to discover a shorter route to the east, but found new continents, North and South America. And he never really even dreamed that he was going to land on a new world, and they called it the New World. But he didn't just show up and somebody said, well, that's where he started. No, he came from the old world to the new world. And Jesus didn't just start in Bethlehem. He always was, friend. He came to this world. MacArthur came to the Philippines to liberate them from the rule of the Axis powers back in World War II. But it was obvious that he'd come with authority from another world, another country, if I could put it that way. Amen, another power. He came with another military might into a world that was dominated by another power. Amen, the Japanese, the Germans, and the Italians. And I want you to understand that Jesus did not just show up, amen, and begin in Bethlehem. He came from another world with other power. Amen. This world was dominated by the power of the devil, by the power of darkness. But Jesus came on a mission to liberate this world. And he had a power that was greater than any power that was in this world. Hallelujah. Our Lord did not just come to explore this world as Columbus did to explore the new world, but it is obvious that Jesus was from another world. He came from heaven to earth. He came from perfect holiness to complete evil that was in this world. He came from the presence of his Father to be tempted by the devil in the wilderness. He came from a land of no death to a place filled with graves. Christ came. Thank God he left the blessedness of glory for the curse of this land and even the curse of the cross. Thank God he came. Not to explore, but to save us. That's why he came. Our Lord did not come as a general waging a war of flesh and blood. Amen. With weapons of flesh and blood. But he came, amen, with the power of holiness and righteousness to deliver a world that was bound by the powers of the devil. Thank God Jesus came into this world. But Christ came with a commission. He came to save sinners. Now, you know what a sinner is. A sinner is someone that breaks God's rules. And God has several rules, but many of them are summed up in the Ten Commandments. Amen. The first one is the big one. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And practically everybody, not practically, everybody but Jesus broke that one right there. They may have not stole anything. They may have not committed adultery. They may have not committed murder. But I'll tell you, everybody in this world broke the big one, the first one. It said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. You say, well, I've never bowed down before a statue and called it a god or anything like that. You may have not, but there is something that you've placed above God. And we look at drug addicts and alcoholics and say, well, they put that above family and God and everything else, decency. But you know there's people that put money above it, and hey, it can be just about anything. And so many have broke that. Honor thy father and mother. Many broke that. Amen. Many have taken the name of the Lord in vain. Others, amen, have done other deplorable things. And we all could say we're sinners. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's a high standard. Amen. Some people read down through that list of 10 commandments like the rich young ruler, and they'll say, you know, I've kept all of these from my youth. And Jesus looks back and says, you lacked one. What was the one that he lacked? Go sell all that you have. You know what he was proving? He was proving he had another God in his life. He broke the first one. He may have not lied, stole, you know, committed adultery, killed. He may have not broke the Sabbath. He may have not ever took the name of the Lord in vain, but he had a God above the Lord God. And it wasn't an image of gold. It was a bunch of money of gold. Well, I just want you to know there's a lot of people that's in that. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But thank God his commission was to come to save sinners. He did not come to call the righteous to repentance. They didn't need it. Amen. But there wasn't any. Amen. But to call sinners to repentance. He didn't come to this world to find out all the righteous people that was here. He came to this world to seek and to save that which was lost. And that's the good news that we need to spread around. Hey man, there's a lot of sinners out there that think there's no hope for them. But I'll tell you, there is hope because Christ came on a mission, and his mission was for the low and the down and out and the people that was bound by sin, those that was dominated by wickedness. Jesus came to save sinners. Hallelujah. And we also know that himself he could not save if he was going to save sinners. Somebody had to die. Somebody had to take the judgment of God upon them. It's either the sinner or the innocent one. But there was none righteous, no, not one, the Bible says. The only one that was born holy was Jesus. And the innocent one took the place of the guilty many. And you say, how can that be? I'll tell you how it can be, because he's older than dirt. He's the Son of God. Amen. He's not just a man that lived pure and holy. He lived holy for all eternity. He's not just a man. He is the creator of man. And the creator could take the place of all created humanity. And so he came and took the punishment and the wrath of God. He came to save others, but he could not save himself from bleeding and being bruised and dying and the curse of the cross. But thank God he came. He came on a mission. He came to show us the Father. Amen. Origen was a third century, amen, preacher. And he had a great analogy. He told of a village with a huge statue. He said this statue was so immense that you could not see exactly what it was supposed to represent. Finally, someone miniaturized the statue so that one could see the person it honored. Origen said, that is what God did in his Son. Paul tells us Christ is the self-miniaturization of God. the visible icon or image of the invisible God. In Christ, we have God in a comprehensible way. In Christ, we have God's own person and personal and definitive visit to this planet. In other words, Jesus could say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. But now you have, amen, you have to understand everything about Jesus, all his holiness and purity and all the love that he showed. That shows us the greatness of God. But we're going to have to wait till we get glorified bodies to really take in everything about God. And I have a feeling for all eternity we're going to be exploring the greatness of God. I've been saved for many years, but I'll tell you, I'm still exploring the love of God. I'm still finding out greater things about God. And so Jesus displays to us the greatness of the Father. He came into this world to save and to show us the Father. Christ had a complete salvation. Paul used himself. He said, of who I am chief. Now, you know, political correctness isn't just out in the political world. Sometimes it gets in the church. And I know this would never happen in this church, but I guarantee you there's a lot of churches it could happen. Four congregational members with concerned faces met their pastor in his office with earnest and imploring eyes. They presented him with a clipboard filled with sheets of signatures. This petition, said the spokesperson of the group, requests changing the term sinner to person who is morally challenged. In other words, don't get up and preach and say we're sinners. Say we're people who are morally challenged. I just tell you what, we are morally challenged. But that means we're sinners. Amen. And we might as well just tell it like it is. Sin is really a horrible thing. You can't change the name of it and make it better. Amen. You can't take the poison label off of something and put on there sugar and make it sweet. A sinner is a sinner. I don't care what label you put on it. Amen. I'll tell you, a drunkard. Amen. Now, I say alcoholic too, but that almost sounds more medical than sinner. You know it does. Amen. They changed the name from sodomite to homosexual to gay. Let me tell you something. There ain't no happy sodomites. Amen. And if they are, they're not going to be happy if they don't get right with God. I want to preach to you and tell you, we can change the labels on sin all we want to. We can change the label on sinners all we want to. But the fact is, amen, sin is a horrible thing. It's a detestable thing. It's a rebellion against God. Amen, it's an insurgence against God. And the Apostle Paul understood the greatness of his own sin. He said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. I used to have, as my pastor for a few months, when I was a boy, my church went through pastors pretty quick. But anyway, Brother Chief Harrison, some of y'all remember Brother Chief Harrison. Brother Chief Harrison, I still remember him saying, and you know, he was an Indian, he'd say, you know, if God can save the chief of sinners, he can save all the little Indians. Amen. Amen. This speaks of the completeness of salvation. Paul said, listen, I'm the first one in line. I'm the biggest sinner that's ever been. And he saved me. Thank God he saved me. And if he can save the chief of sinners, he can save all the other ones. And it's a complete salvation, isn't it? It's a total total forgiveness. Amen. Let's talk about the confidence of this saying. It's a faithful saying. You can depend upon it. It doesn't go away. It's not a guarantee. That's almost a lifetime, limited lifetime warranty. I'll tell you what, this is a complete faithful thing. It was good in Paul's day. It's good in our day, and it's going to be good till Jesus comes again. It's a faithful saying. It's a worthy saying. People ought to know about this everywhere. Hey man, it's worthy that everybody ought to know that Jesus saves. It's an acceptable saying. It's something everybody ought to not just take in their minds, but take and embrace in their spirit and soul and say, I'm thank God I'm saved. Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Amen. So this is a compelling thing to me, to Christians. I think it ought to make us live our lives with a mission, have our church with a mission. Jesus came to this world. Well, here we're in our little heavenly enclave on earth, little heaven on earth right here. When we leave this place, you know what? Every one of you is on a mission. You're being sent to this world. We're being equipped in church. We're being sent to this world. What if every night after service, instead of saying shake hands, be friendly, and love one another, I'd say shake hands, be friendly, love one another, remember, you're on a mission. God brings us together and blesses us and helps us. But if God wanted us to live right here, He'd made a way where we would. He sends us out to our communities, our jobs, the place where we work and shop and our families. And we have a mission. When Jesus spoke to the disciples in the church, He said in Matthew 28 and 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now everybody wants to claim that, lo, I'm with you always. Do you want that? We're going to take the verse before too. Go ye therefore. He said, well, Brother Lloyd, I'm going to pick and choose. This is a buffet. I'm going through, I kind of like that when I'm going past. I don't like that. That looks like broccoli or something. I like broccoli myself, but some people don't. Listen, folks, this is not a buffet. If you want the lo, I am with you always, you're going to have to go ye therefore. Sound just like the same mission Jesus was on, wasn't it? Amen. That's exciting to me. Are you glad? Are you glad? Are you glad that Jesus came on a mission? I'll tell you, you could make somebody glad if there's a church on a mission, if I'm a pastor on a mission, if we're Christians on a mission. I'll have to say that if somebody gets saved because we take this seriously and let the world know that Jesus came to save them, then those people that turn their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ are going to be saying, thank God I'm free. Woo! From this world of sin. Been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. But thank God for a church on a mission. Praise God. There was a fellow told this story. He said he went to a holiness revival meeting in New York. And it seemed a certain missionary home on leave was shopping. They told this story. And this missionary was shopping for a globe to go home to his mission station where he could pray for the world and look at the world. He's looking in this shop, and the clerk said, now, we have different types of globes. We have this ordinary globe right here, and then we have a globe that lights up. said, but the lighted globe cost a whole lot more. A world that is full of the light of the gospel, it costs a whole lot more to spread the light of the gospel. But this world needs what we have, just like we needed what Jesus had. Let's spread the light of the gospel. What do you say? Hallelujah. And listen to the sinner. To the sinner. This must be believed. Who wouldn't want to believe this? Hey man, it's freedom. It's liberty. Now, I'll tell you why people don't want to believe it. It's because they love sin. You know what took us so long in getting saved? We loved a certain sin. Whatever it was, there was something in our life that we loved. We liked it. We're going to have to believe what the Bible says about sin. Carrie Lessard showed me this story. I've heard it before. But there was a radio report that a middle school in Oregon faced a unique problem. A number of girls began to use lipstick and put it on in the bathroom. And after they put on their lipstick, they pressed their lips on the mirror, leaving dozens of little lip prints. Finally, the principal decided something had to be done. She called the girls to the bathroom and met them there with the custodian. She explained lip prints cause major problems for the custodian because he has to clean up the mirror a lot. To demonstrate how difficult it was, she asked the custodian to clean one of the mirrors. He took out a long-handled brush, dipped it in the toilet, and scrubbed the mirror. Right there in front of those girls. And for some strange reason, there have never been any more lip prints on the mirror. When tempted to sin, if we could only see the real filth of what we're kissing, we wouldn't be attracted to it. If we could see how filthy and disgusting it really, really was. That's part of believing this. It really is. There's a demonstration. You see how terrible the cross is, that's how bad sin is. You think about how bad hell is, that's how bad sin is. It's not just the homeless man that you walk by and you think, man, look at that wasted life. It could be a president. It could be a king. It could be anybody. If they give their lives to sin, no matter how opulent, how beautiful, no matter how rich and famous, it's horrible. I know I won't know and you won't know until we stand before how holy God is. I understand that. But I'll tell you, we need to get a revelation of how horrible sin is. That's the way Paul was. He said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. You know why he said that? Because he understood how bad his sin was. Now, some people get lost right there. I've seen people that didn't persecute the church or murder anybody or do anything like Saul did, but they had a trouble believing that God would forgive them for whatever they did. But Paul not only believed what God said about sin, he also believed that Christ came to save sinners. Oh, thank God he came to save sinners. This has got to be believed. We have to believe it. We have to believe until sin is seen as a disease, but a curable disease that the great physician can take care of. We must believe this message right here until sin is seen as a dreadful enemy. Like ISIS or one of these terrible terror organizations, a dreadful enemy. But we must see Christ, the great deliverer, setting us free and putting down the enemy. This message must be believed until sin becomes exceeding sinful. But Christ is altogether lovely and a great Savior that saves to the uttermost. Thank God I'm free. Thank God Jesus came on a mission. What was his mission? To save
us.
Oh, glory to God. How unworthy did Paul feel, but how worthy were the praises that he gave to Jesus. Listen, the more we believe this and see our own unworthiness, the more we want to praise him and thank him and worship him. Now, could we stand? Let's praise him here this morning and thank him for what he has done for our lives. Hallelujah.